Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Tamboukos.
Welcome, everybody. This is Pete. I'm here with our co-host, Keith. We're coming at you from the KP Studios here at the Forum, and today we have got some very special guests with us. We've got Brandon Goswick and Nate Dean from ULC. Welcome, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
Great, man.
Doing great.
I will say this. There is like a certain amount of energy when you walk in the door in this place, and it's been such a pleasure getting to know y'all both in this short amount of time, And I would say that energy is probably just a testament to y'all's leadership in KP Elite. And so I just want to let y'all know that it's felt.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's definitely for any of those folks that are in the area with the Forum, it's pretty unique spot. We love the atmosphere. Culture is a fun place in here for sure. We try to keep it good. Well, that's awesome, guys. And so for everybody that, you know, to go in, if you guys remember in our last episode, we started going into real estate investing. We had talked about short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. We had talked about some of the strategies around that. And Nate and Dean are here today. I'm sorry, Brandon and Nate are here today. We got Nate Dean too. But they're here today to talk about a little bit of a different take on it, a little bit of a different spin. So I've been working with these two gentlemen now for probably about a year and a half or so with their company, Unlimited Life Concepts. And I'm going to let them get into a little bit of their backgrounds. And then we're going to talk about in today's topic how we can use the infinite banking system and how we've been using infinite banking when we're going into real estate investing. But let's start with talking about tell us a little bit about yourself. Share with everybody a little bit of your guys' background.
So I think it's important to say that this is Brandon, because you're going to probably be siphoning through some thick East Texas twang, as we like to call it. So Nate and I have similar voices, but you'll be able to tell us apart pretty quick. So the very short version is that we were blessed to come across a concept known as infinite banking when we were looking for what we were then calling a side hustle. You know, it was a thing. Everybody was talking about a side hustle this, side hustle that. So Nate says, hey, B, check this book out. I go to order. He goes, no, I need you to read it now. So he gives me his Kindle login. The short version is a short book called Becoming Your Own Banker, vital to understanding the infinite banking concept. This awesome gentleman named Nelson Nash, who's passed away in the last couple of years, wrote the book in 2000. So it's not a very common known concept. Okay. So we dive in and we're like, this is legit. This, if it's half as good as what it seems to be, we've got to know more. We fly to Kansas. We find mentors. They poured into us for many, many years. Fast forward to today, Nate and I had started a business called Unlimited Life Concepts. We had no clients, but we had a passion and a vision. And then we're sitting here talking to people at this awesome atmosphere, KP Elite, where I couldn't wait to get here this morning. Go get my workout in, have breakfast. I'm like, well, let's get there early, because it just has got a vibe. You could just, when we talked to all your people yesterday, the energy is obvious. And that's the kind of people we like to partner with. So that's a little bit about me. Most importantly, I love Jesus. I don't ever shy away from that. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love him and he didn't love me. Got four kids, a smoking hot wife of 15 years, and I'm just glad to be here, guys.
It's awesome. Welcome, man.
And this is Nate. And so I actually have a pretty strong background in ministry. I started off in music ministry and then moved into music and youth ministry. And then 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago exactly, I became a senior pastor of a church. And it was actually in the midst of this transition where I was going from music and youth ministry into that pastor position is when infinite banking showed up in our lives. And it was just an incredible moment for us to really, for the first time in our lives, have peace and have hope in our finances in a way that we just never had before. And my wife and I, we've been married almost 19 years. There'll be 19 years this year. And we have four kids as well. And, you know, in addition to just having this opportunity to teach Infinite Banking, have the opportunity to pour into people with the church and ministry. And it's just been a huge blessing. And it kind of blows our minds every day when we wake up that we get to do this.
That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, and the theme that I'm noticing in this room is you got three dudes who each got four kids. So Keith, you got some work cut out for you, dude.
You keep that stuff away from me, right?
Dude, your wife's going to be pregnant just by us being in town.
I'm waiting for the phone to ring, actually, if you really want to know. So let's ease up on that one.
And if you're listening, there we go.
There you go.
So with that, so it's awesome having you guys here. And like I said, this is definitely something that I think, you know, just so everybody knows, Brandon and Nate were in town yesterday sharing this with the team. And it was definitely a lot of people, I think, that are hearing this for the first time. I think most people.
Yeah.
Because I think, like we've talked about before, most people haven't been exposed to this. And it's always important. And Keith and I always believe in, you know, it's very important to keep learning, keep finding out new information, talk to people, see what's out there. You don't know what you don't know most of the time. So with that in mind, I mean, let's touch a little bit on just kind of the basic overview. And I will tell people, you know, for me, I know it took me a little while to totally wrap my arms around this, and I'm still figuring it out. But you know, it's important to start somewhere and go with, hey, what is the general concept of infinite banking? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, and then we'll go from that into how does it relate to our real estate world?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and it ties so closely to real estate. The example that I like to use for people who have a general understanding of real estate is just imagine buying a piece of property in a guaranteed growth market where it's guaranteed to grow. That in and of itself is great because obviously, you know, there's risk with any type of investment, but you've got this guaranteed growth that's happening, but also you're building equity in this asset, in this property, if we're talking about real estate. And then on top of that, you've got control of the equity and you're able to leverage that equity into creating your own personal line of credit that you own and control, which is crazy. The fact that in a traditional line of credit situation, you'd be paying interest to the bank, but with infinite banking, you're actually earning interest off your own line of credit. And the beauty of all of that is it's actually not real estate. It's not an investment. It's a cash flow strategy, and it can be scaled to whatever your situation is. So now to tie that to what infinite banking actually is, Nelson Nash figured out years ago that there was a way to properly structure a dividend-paying whole life insurance policy to create your own private banking system that you own and control. The characteristics of the policy give you the ability to access funds, leverage funds, all those things in a way where you really have your own type of banking system outside of the traditional banking system that we're currently all a part of. And it's a pretty wild concept because it's completely against everything that we've been taught about money, because we're taught in life that if we want to buy something, we either pay cash for it or we finance it. But no one has really ever taught us the principle of leverage and how we could actually keep momentum on our money consistently throughout our life and how just incredibly powerful that can be long term.
Yeah, Nate, to add to that, just to kind of put a cherry on top, it's very important when you hear this, if you start deep diving into it, one, to know that there's a lot of noise out there, which is why we always refer to becoming your own banker and reading the book, because that is the purest way to take in the information first, because it's been, for lack of a better word, bastardized on a couple of occasions already because people are trying to make money off it like anything else. And you want to find a teacher, someone who's not scared to answer your questions over and over. But infinite banking has no other thing you compare it to. It is not an or thing. It is, I want to do this and I do infinite banking before I do this. Mm-hmm. It is not about investments. It's about controlling the banking function, which right now for anybody listening, 99.9% of America, someone else is controlling that function in your life.
Yep.
Or you're losing opportunity on cash because you think you are controlling it the best way you can. So that's a brief overview of what it is.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I'm I'm also seeing that we see is talk about the tax like obligations with it, because I think that's another thing that goes alongside it. When you talk about when people are investing or leveraging their money or putting it certain places, there's always a tax obligation. There's a lot of ways to use different items as vehicles to protect your money, take care of your money, invest your money long term. I mean, we see IRAs, we see 401ks, we see all these things, but they have a lot of rules and restrictions. And I think that's another big part of what we're learning with IBC is tell us a little bit about, you know, those freedoms that you get alongside, you know, that cash flow strategy.
So on the tax side, and Pete started this off with, you don't know what you don't know. One of Nelson's biggest principles is about mindsets in the book, overcoming the arrival syndrome, which we all fight daily. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's either I know as much as I need to know and I got it all figured out, or it's as good as it's going to get. And let me tell you, if you're thinking that way, you're dying. Just that simple. You're going backwards. Okay. So if you're willing to overcome that and go, okay, I might can learn something new, then you go to, let's tie into taxes. We ask questions. We don't make statements, because if we have a client who is not willing to answer the question for themselves, that's probably not the kind of client we want to work with. They got to be on their own journey of exploring. So in simple terms of taxes, it is the one of the most expensive costs that we pay throughout our lifetime that we think we just have to pay. So if you think you have to pay it, let's just start there, okay, which there's a lot of tax strategy and logic that you can do better than what you have to pay today. If you run it through a system first where you're taxed on the seed instead of the harvest, and the harvest is going to be a huge passing down of financial gain to the people and the systems or the organizations that matter the most, we're immediately winning with our dollar than we would have been going traditional. So people always ask us, Nate, well, how is this not any better than a 401k or an IRA? So I'll pass that over to Nate, because I think it's good to touch on those things that we've been taught are the way to go.
Well, it's important to understand that Nelson's whole point with infinite banking was it's about certainty and it's about control. And when you think about what is the value of certainty in your life, what is the value of control in your life, those you can't put a number on those things. So the value of certainty when we're talking about infinite banking is we are looking at, in this situation, we are looking at the track record of the life insurance industry as a whole. You know, you can look at individual companies as well, but really just if you just look at the industry, life insurance as a whole, going back all the way to the Great Depression, there were banks during that time that were not willing to lend money at all. Mm-hmm. When life insurance companies were still lending money to their customers because they had it to lend. So you look at the track record and the fact that insurance companies have gone through depressions or recessions, all these, you know, financial crises, all these different things, and yet they still maintain profitability and still pay dividends. What other industry out there is like that?
Yeah, nothing that I know about.
Well, I mean, when everyone's guaranteed to die, it makes it a pretty sure bet, you know, in any type of strategy when it comes alongside that. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's something that, you know, is its own.
I would say with that certainly in control, one of the things we always talk to our agents about, you know, just taking it back to the business side of it is, look, nothing is a problem until it's a problem. You know, nobody notices, you know, oh, how good is your title? How good is your lender? How good is your agent? Until there's a problem. And so then everybody all of a sudden cares, and it matters what system you're working and who you're working with. And so, you know, I think about this the same way. When times are good, we can use, you know, infinite banking to continue to accelerate our growth and leverage everything that we've got. But when things go bad and you look back through history, things go wrong. And just like you were talking about, Nate, you know, they've gone through the Great Depression, World Wars, and banks aren't lending, companies are struggling. That is going to be a time in your life when you may need something the most and you're not able to get it. And that is where something like infinite banking, where you've got that control over it, that is where it's worth its weight in gold at that point, because you've got something now that you can access anytime on your own terms, regardless of what's going on out there.
So to help some of our listeners out a little bit to understand, I think, and comprehend this function a little bit better as well, I think we understand now that it's a cash flow strategy. It's a vehicle. It's not primarily investment. It's focused to help you long term in growth. So what is some of that system of, you know, the IBC strategy? What are you doing with your money? What does that mean? What's the actual dynamic? Like, where am I putting my money? How much, how often, what does that look like?
So this is where it really depends on each individual person, but just to kind of give a broad stroke of the brush, all of us till the day we die need the ability to finance. Okay. I think we all agree with that. Good times, bad times, it doesn't matter. Good times, it's easier to go use the bank's money. Like today, interest rates are really outrageously low and you can go take their money and you can leverage it. You may spend 30 days trying to get it or 45 in paperwork and your firstborn child and the blood draw and all of that, but it's doable. Okay. So what does it look like? It looks like where you are in your life. So if you are someone who has large sums of money sitting and you believe that it's eroding, okay, which it is if it's in a traditional setting because of inflation and things you can't see, then what we're doing is we're basically taking it from that right pocket of the traditional savings checking account and we're moving it into a left pocket that is giving us benefits guaranteed for the rest of our life. No questions asked. You are the first priority to the insurance company and how you have access to your money. It is literally one piece of paper that I sign and I send in via email and I have my money in my account and I'm leveraging their money. If you want to bring it down to more of a person-to-person type thing and you're fighting what we call headwinds, which is outside debt to a lender, to a credit card company, to a mortgage company, to a car company, they are eating you alive with interest. And it's not the rate, people. It's the volume. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me. Look at your mortgage and look at how much interest only percentage wise you pay in the first 7 years of your mortgage. Guess who's getting that money? It isn't you. Guess who owns the object you're living in that you say is your best asset? It isn't you. Okay. It's the mortgage company. So we teach people how to shift that wind current and start taking possession wherever their resources are at the time and start taking that payment that was going to someone else or overpayments and redirecting it through their IBC system at whatever they're able to do.
So in essence, you're saying this concept allows you, similar to what an IRA or a 401k would be with no limits and no limitations, to be able to invest yearly or monthly in a fund that you don't have to wait till you're in your 60s to pull from? Is that essentially what we're getting at?
Exactly. Exactly. And the example that Brandon used about mortgages, you guys know this better than anybody else. People don't live in houses for 30, 40 years anymore. They're buying a new house every 5 to 10 years. It's just the way our economy is, where our culture is, all that stuff. So if somebody is purchasing a home and they're just paying the minimum payments, which that's what most people do, then 5 to 7 years down the road, they're just clearing the calculator on all that interest that they paid, and they're just starting all over again with a new property, which means if you look at that time period, they didn't pay 3% interest. They didn't pay 4% interest. They paid 70 to 80% interest because it's not about the rate. It's about the volume. And that control aspect that we were talking about earlier, the beauty of being able to leverage your system is the fact that you control the terms as far as how that money is paid back to your system. So when we take a policy loan, the insurance company is never knocking on our door saying, hey, you borrowed this money from us and we want it back. Because the ultimate collateral on your entire system is the fact that there's a death benefit attached to it. So if I have a $500,000 policy, death benefit wise, and I have $50,000 outstanding in a policy loan and something happens to me, my wife is going to get $450,000.
Yeah.
Tax free. With the proper education and understanding. So let's just break that down. I'm a weeds guy. Okay. I won't go too far in them. Let's just break that down. Let's say that Nate started that policy today and the good Lord takes him 20 years from now. Okay. It went in at the lower tax rates we're experiencing that are creeping up and it came out tax free. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think taxes are going up or going down?
They're going up.
I don't know how much lower they can get.
Okay. And if you don't know about taxes, just do a little research. One of my favorite stories is Ronald Reagan used to do two movies a year. because if he did more than two, that crossed over $100,000 total profit. And basically he did the third movie for free. 96% went to federal and 4% went to California, Texas.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
That's exactly right.
So he saves time and makes the same amount of money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You do get penalized for making money.
Yes.
And so it is understanding the concept of, okay, where are we putting our money to shelter it or leverage it at the highest availability? And so that's what makes this concept so exciting.
Yeah. So I think, in reference to what we're talking about, here on the podcast specifically, let's dive in a little bit about how this can be used specifically with real estate investing. So we've got this system that we're talking about where we're managing our cash flow. We've got a better way to manage our cash flow. We've got certainty. We've got control over this. Now, help the listeners out there translate that to, okay, I'm out here and I'm going and I'm either buying, I'm looking to flip some property, or I've got long-term rentals or short-term rentals that I'm going in. I think one of the beauties here is that now you can tie these two together and use your IBC system in conjunction with that real estate investing.
I love that. And it's often referred to as the and asset, okay, because it's really what it is. It's an asset. Nate calls it the most forgotten asset class that has been around for hundreds of years. Okay. So I'll give you an example that I think will resonate with a lot of people on a flip. Okay. So let's say we find a property here locally and we can buy it for $50,000, and it's going to take about $50,000 to renovate, just making round and easy numbers. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let's say we built our IBC system big enough to make that $50,000 purchase. Now, I want you to be walking through this with two things going on. What would I be doing if I didn't know what Brandon was explaining right now? I would be going to the bank if I didn't have the $50,000, or I'd be paying cash. When I pay the cash, the opportunity of that dollar is gone until I can recoup it somewhere, but the creation of momentum is gone. It stopped. Okay, but I've got the property. So with IBC, I borrow against the cash value in my system. Insurance company has it in my bank in 3 to 5 days, one piece of paper. One, I'm dealing in cash. I'm not dealing with the bank in this scenario. So I may get the property for a better deal and I may get it quicker because somebody else had to go through the bank and I didn't.
Yeah, or you may get the opportunity that you wouldn't have otherwise had at all.
Absolutely.
The deal may be gone if
because
you can't move quick.
Opportunity finds capital and it finds accessible capital even faster. Okay. And you typically get better deals normally. Mm-hmm. So let's say we purchase that $50,000. We control the repayment terms back to that cash we owe to the insurance company, but they're not knocking on our door like Nate said. So we're immediately not over leveraged in cash flow going out. And let's say we had another $50,000 for the remodels that we're able to control. So now we essentially have the certainty and control, and we can not have to send a payment to the bank or lose opportunity on our cash as we're renovating this thing. And we have the control of that capital to pay the subs or the contractors or whatever we got going. So we're in a better position. Then let's say we flip it for $200,000. We've made $100,000 right there, and we've not had to slow the opportunity on our dollar because the insurance company is growing that $100,000 guaranteed, uninterrupted, and it didn't go down like a traditional account when we borrowed against it.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing
there
that we want the listeners to understand. We're not pulling money out of that system.
Yep.
It's not ever leaving the system. In fact, we're lending to ourselves against our life, if you will, or our own insurance.
Yep.
And so the insurance company never loses that money. It's still compounding. It's still exponentially increasing over time. We're just saying, hey, we can have this credit line available to us because we're all inevitable. It's all inevitable. We're all going to die at some point in time. Yep. They're not worried about lending against it because of the fact that if you die, it'll get paid off immediately, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
It doesn't have that risk or that worry. And that's why you can probably repay it on your own terms and your own stuff, because they're not worried. The money's always going to be there.
That's exactly right.
And one of the most recent examples that I have taken advantage of with my policy is we had some friends who they were moving. They owned about 200 acres. They decided, because they were moving, that they were going to sell off a lot of their property because they were just getting out of the area. And so they told us, hey, we're moving. We're selling some of this property. We went and looked at it. 25 acres roughly. We made the decision right there on the spot. Hey, let's do it, because we had the money. The down payment was sitting right there in our policy, ready to go. Yep. It was an easy decision. Like, it's crazy to think that, thousands of dollars, like these six figure decisions become easy over time, because your mind starts to shift. What I had so many problems with whenever I was following Dave Ramsey was I had developed such a scarcity mentality that even when I had money to pay bills, I was scared to see that money leave my account. Mm. Like, it terrified me. And now switching to this abundance mentality where it's like, when opportunity shows up, if I've got the money, if it makes sense, we pray about it. Hey, let's roll. Let's do it.
I love that. So, and that's one of the most important things with this whole process. And like you guys talk about is I know that Brandon and Nate come, as teachers, and it's important to keep learning and keep understanding. And that mindset, that mind shift is really the biggest difference, because you start looking at things differently, and it is tough to get out of those old habits too, because it's like you said, you see, even when you're paying down that debt and you know that once you pay that off, it's a good thing, you should pay it off, but that money's gone and it's never coming back. And that could be a scary thing. We've all experienced it for sure. But I think it's important here. I want to recap on a couple of things that you guys talked about, for the listeners, so that everybody really gets what we're discussing here. So obviously we're talking about the fact that you've got this certainty and this control with your money. And so going back to Brandon's example here about that flip, sometimes that if you get these properties, you might uncover something that you weren't expecting. And all Absolutely. Of a sudden, things are going to take on longer. Things might get more expensive. And if you have traditional finance, you've taken on a line of credit, hard money loan, whatever it is, they're expecting a payment every month. So if you run into something, all of a sudden, you got a lot of stress coming in there. But if you're the one controlling the terms with this financing, it gives you that peace of mind and just that ability to handle things, to handle these little bumps that might come up. And I think, don't underestimate that, guys. That is a huge thing, because, it's a reason why in all of our budgets on these things, we put in, hey, okay, what do our numbers look like? Put in an extra 10 or 15% because something's going to pop up. And sometimes that something's a little bit bigger than the other thing. And sometimes it's out of your control. And if all of a sudden you aren't expecting to turn this around in 60 days, and now you're having to hang on to it for 6 months for whatever reason, that can really change things on you quickly. I think the other very important thing, and I know Keith and Brandon, you guys both touched on it too, was the fact, guys, that it's an and asset, that you've got two things going on here. So we've got this property that might be, if it's a long-term rental or we're doing a flip, if they're appreciating or we're getting money off of that one, a cash flow, whatever it is. But at the same time, the money that you use to buy that with is still growing. So you have now got two assets that are continuing to grow instead of just one. Because if I use my money out of the bank, that money's gone. It's not growing. It's not working for me. It's gone. I've got the property, like you said. But in the case of IBC, I've got two assets that are continuing to grow, and they compound, and it keeps going, and it keeps growing faster. And so I think that's a very powerful strategy, a very powerful thing when we're looking at it.
I think it's safe to say that the people who win the game are the ones who figure out how to make their dollar do as many things as possible.
Mm-hmm. $1 I like working that. Multiple times, optimizing itself or creating new optimized opportunities. So here's the thing on compounding that I think we've all been taught that's really a farce, okay? We think we're creating compounding motion or opportunity in traditional things, okay? But we don't dive a little further and do our own investigating on how many times we really stop it. And that's the kicker. So when we're talking through this with somebody who's already taken the step, they're working through the process, they maybe have their system started, they really hadn't made that full shift. I go, don't ever underestimate that today, what you do, the power of the compounding growth on that, because it will never be interrupted. Mm-hmm. And how many times do you ever want to add to something that never interrupts? Oh, so I just give a simple example. I'll go, okay, you got $1,000. Okay, how old are you today? 30. All right, how long you want to live? Well, I'd like to live until I'm 90. Okay, plug in a simple calculator, roughly 4% for the next 60 years on $1,000. How many times do you want to recreate that? And then think about being able to access against it while it grows uninterrupted, and then go create something else that creates momentum of your money.
Mm-hmm. I think anyone that has an IRA and believes in the IRA system needs to look at this.
Yep.
If you're not looking at this, you're missing out, because it is tangibly everything the IRA has for your life and your account. Believing in long-term growth, believing in that, you know, saving strategy, and then adding two or three pluses that an IRA can never give you. Like, you just can't. And with this system, it also benefits you when you are starting younger, just like anything, compoundly. So if you're, honestly, if you're anywhere under 40 right now, you have a massive opportunity.
Yep.
And if you're in your 20s or your 30s, you have an immense opportunity. And I think what's important to build generational wealth. Like, I think that's what's really important, because that money will always be there. We always talk about saving for retirement and saving for ourselves, but another big thing that will come over time is, well, what am I going to give my kids? What am I going to pass down? What am I going to hand off to my family down the road? How am I going to protect them if I'm not there? All of those things become answered with this process. It's all fixed.
When Brandon touched on this briefly, or was about to go there, people need to understand, and most people don't, people need to understand the difference between actual rate of return versus average rate of return. Because in you know, a mutual fund, as an example, that's averaging 12%, you're not compounding 12%.
No. Nope.
You're getting interrupted on that compounding growth. And in a situation where, you know, if you had $100,000 and it goes up 25%, now you got 125. If it goes down 25%, you don't have 100,000. You're at 93,750. On paper, 0% looks like you broke even, but your bank account doesn't show that. And that's because the losses hurt more than anything else. And when someone shows you an average rate of return model, you gotta understand that these numbers, and that's why there's an asterisk at the bottom that says, you know, this is subject to all this other stuff. So, that's something that people underestimate and don't take into account when they're thinking about uninterrupted compounding growth and how powerful that can be.
That's huge. That's huge. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, you look at it and you'll have those planners and people that point out, okay, well, the S&P 500 returns, you know, 8 to 9% a year, whatever it is on average. And they look at that and they, like you just said, hey, that's good. Except when you get a 50% drawdown on that. And then, okay, so the next year returns 9 or 10%, but I just lost half my money. So now that 9 or 10%, you know, and then it'll go up. Let's say it has a great year and it goes up 20%. But then if it draws back down 10%, that's what we're talking about here with this money. And I think that's huge, Nate, because people, I know before I started looking at it, you didn't really dig into that to think about the fact of how that affects you. And that is massive. So definitely the average rate of return that you see on these things, definitely skewed, because that's not, like you said, that's not what you're getting.
So Pete, the thing that comes to my mind, so in the country we herd cattle, mm-hmm. okay, and there's a pen typically that gradually gets smaller. Most of the cattle, until they get to the point where they lock them in, don't know they're going to get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And that sounds terrible, but I'm going to back that out now and bring it back to something a little lighter, okay, in regard to this. When we are committing the majority of our dollars to a system that we don't control, we are playing with fire. Okay, I don't care what system it is. So if you want to break it down real simple, who controls what terms of where your money goes? And what resonated with me with how insurance companies work and how stable they are is that it is a private, non-tax contract, which basically means that they have been around before the tax code. And they are obligated to always have the ability to pay out 100% of their death benefit on the books if everybody died today. There's no other financial organization that I know of in the United States that can claim that and back it. And it's why banks use insurance companies' money more than anybody else's money. and they use their processes that we're teaching. Just let that all kind of marinate there for a second.
Yeah, and I think it's important too. So when we're talking about banking, you know, and you're talking about traditional banks, you know, the large money center banks out there that everybody knows, it's important. I don't know if that people realize that they don't have all your money. So people forget that all of a sudden, if you went to whatever bank you're banking at, if everybody goes there today and they all say, I want to withdraw my money out, it's not there.
No,
it's not there. And so that is completely different than what the insurance companies have. Like you said, where they've got multiple times what their obligations are, which is completely different and a huge thing and a huge risk that a lot of people don't understand. And I know that, you know, we'll have people talk about the same thing. Well, we've got the FDIC. Well, I got news for you there too. And these are not my opinion or my words. You go look at what the FDIC says and you go look at what the government tells you, that even though that's the insurance there, they don't have, if they had to pay all that out today, they do not have the money to do it. It's just not there.
If you really want to nerd out, read the book Creature from Jekyll Island. It's about the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. But somewhere in there, it breaks down, if I remember, the percentage of, like, there's only like less than 1% of capital that could cover the FDIC.
Yeah, it's small. Yeah,
it is a figment of our imagination with a federal timestamp on it. Yeah, is what it really is.
That's cool. But so we touched on, Nate, you gave this great example about how you guys used it to buy the land there. I think another powerful thing to talk about is how we can use this in real estate investing to accelerate our cash flows with this velocity of money. And I think maybe the route to go here is, can you guys go over an example? Let's say we're looking at a long-term rental, and how we've got cash flow. You know, you've got a long-term rental property, you've got cash flow coming in there. You've used your IBC system. Let's touch on how those work and how that might be a better way to go about this than traditionally buying that long-term rental.
So when we speak on this, we are by no means coming from a level of expertise. But what I love about IBC is it insulates you from some serious mistakes, because you've got that and asset growing for you, even if you have some bumps in the road. So Nelson said, if you understand IBC, it will help you recover from bad business decisions, which we've all, if we're hustling, if we're learning, if we're applying, we're going to make mistakes. That's how we learn a lot of times. So a real life example is me and my brother have, our whole family uses the IBC approach and system. So first property we buy, probably not the best investment we made on a long-term rental. Okay. The cash flow is pretty good. We got a lot of money going out. So we are netting positive monthly, but barely. Got a good renter, so we're blessed there. Fun side story, we didn't have the entire amount of capital to close on the property. So we went to my family IBC bank and set up terms to pay my dad for a part of the down payment, or we wouldn't have been able to get the financing. So then we fast forward and we get a little smarter after that first one. And we buy two properties from a client of ours that's a real estate agent in Missouri. Now, these suckers are awesome. 35, 40K down, renters in it, $850 a month rent. Okay. So we are definitely doing better cash on cash. Mm. All right. Which is what we look for IBC, because we want our cash flow to flow through our IBC system.
Right.
So my brother and I very simply start a 6K annual or $500 monthly policy, because that's what the cash flow on top of paying the bills monthly is creating. So just think about this, where normally that long-term rental money would be sitting in your bank account, or you'd be trying to figure out, where am I going to put it where it's being optimized?
Or you'd be spending it.
Or you'd be spending it. That's called Parkinson's law. There you go. So we're like, let's start a policy that this extra cash flow a month can feed. And then essentially we're just adding one step to the long-term rental process. So I think that makes a ton of sense. Okay. I've got cash that's sitting. Let's put it through something that benefits me. And then if we need it, get that uninterrupted growth from the insurance company. We need it. We borrow against it to fix X, Y, and Z, because it's going to happen. Those things that we don't plan for, that floor having a leak with the pipe underneath, the floor needing to be re-leveled, all things we've dealt with. Because we've been doing this for about a year and a half, we've built up a decent amount of cash inside the policy that has given us the flexibility to control the terms of paying someone to fix things we need fixed. Fun side note, one of the properties we bought was Section 8. Okay. I was pleased. We were pleased with why we went that route, because it's guaranteed money from the government.
Right.
But we didn't factor in that the government office was shut down for 8 months because of COVID. Oh. But because we had the capital in the policy, it bridge the gap for the other two properties where we didn't have to sell off one of the properties in a not good seller's market at that moment to make it work. The certainty and control is incalculable, like Nate was saying earlier. And if you talk to any business owner who has used this for a while, they will tell you it is the absolute most flexible asset they've ever owned that has gotten them through trying times during ups and downs of their business, because it gives them the flexibility to create those terms that they need.
So let me fast forward that exact example just so that we're on the same page. So you get that policy. It's a $6,000 policy or a $500 a month, like we're talking about. So if you don't want to do a lump sum and you're like, hey, I'll just take the income and every month I'll take the $500 I earned from my long-term rental. I'll put it in that policy for the premium, if you will. And I'll be able to pull from that over time. Well, obviously your goal of having a long-term rental is that you're going to have it for a long time. That's the vision. So let's fast forward 4 years, 5 years down the road. In essence, you'd be saving this money over the course of time. Now you could have used it and pulled it, et cetera, but you're putting $6,000 essentially in there every year for 5 years. So you're sitting at about $30,000 or so invested or leveraged in this account. At that point, it starts to make a little bit of a shift, and you start to see with the dividends and you start to see with that compound growth what that looking like. So let's talk just a tiny bit. Can you touch on the fact of, like, in that moment, what is that starting to look for?
I can tell you what it's starting to look like. So a realtor calls us from Missouri and goes, dude, it's going crazy down here. And if you put about 20K into this thing, okay, no, we're in it for 40 with a renter. Yesterday, next door sold for 120.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Now, when we bought this, it was not about appreciation. It was purely cash flow.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So now we've immediately, because we had capital to keep us going and didn't have to sell one of those off, we're in an immediate better position. The other one, we paid down some, or the renters paid down, however you want to look at it. It's got equity in it now. So we're on all different levels in a much more beneficial environment because we controlled at least a section of the terms as we started that process. Okay. So we built something that accommodated what we were doing at the time.
Well, and let me touch on that, because Pete said something about this earlier. You're building equity in the policy that you control. You're also building equity in the property. You're taking that same dollar and you're building equity in two different places simultaneously. And what is really cool about pairing a policy with a property is that policy, you know, if you use the down payment from the policy to get that property, now the cash flow coming back off of that property goes back into the policy. And eventually it gets to the point where they're just feeding one another. Now you've got a machine, hands off, basically, that's just funding itself. Like, that's crazy.
You got a machine feeding itself, and that's kind of where I was starting at when I was asking you guys there, is that is accelerating your cash flows, because you've got one feeding the other. They're both going. The velocity continues to pick up. So now you're building that equity. You've got control over these funds. If you need to do things to the property, you've got funds that are becoming available to do additional properties that you still got control over that you can continue to build. And that can go faster and faster and faster over time. And that's really one of the huge benefits that I always like to point out is, hey, we're only all here for a certain amount of time. And if I can speed this process up with the control on top of it, meaning I'm doing it, not only am I speeding this up, I'm doing it in a better way, in a way that is giving me more protection and more peace of mind. I mean, I can't think of anything else that's better than that. And it is allowing us to reach these goals that we're all trying to get to faster than we would by not doing this, basically, by just doing it the traditional route.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at that concept and you can say, hey, I'm going to put $6,000 in this thing a year, but after about 5 or 6 years, I'm getting 8,000 every time I do it, then 10,000, then 12,000. And then when I'm 20 years down the road and I put $6,000 in and it's 18 when I'm done, you know, and you start to see what those numbers could look like. And you're just going to, anybody's would be crazy if I told them, hey, if you put $6,000 in this, you're going to double your money. Right away. Like it's just going to grow and continue to expand and grow. And you can still pull it right back out. Like that's the thing that blows people's minds.
So yesterday I got, so we were meeting with y'all's crew. Two things stuck out to me that come up all the time in our process and how we teach people. One said, is this legal? and it sounds like it isn't because we've never heard about it before. And then the other question was, well, what's the downside? And this sounds like a too simple answer, but it really is. It starts with how you invest in your own knowledge. The downside is human nature. Because if you're not willing to be a good banker and feed your system and you spend it out of the account beforehand, then you're probably not ready for IBC because you were creating that problem for yourself and you're just going to add to it by trying to feed your system. So that's where the mindset comes in.
Yep. And I think that's huge, guys. And that's why Brandon and Nate here, when they're coming at this from an approach of teaching and really diving into this, and this continues to be an ongoing process. I know for me, for Keith, for a lot of people we talk to in this, we're continuing to learn and figure this out. So it is important to be working with people that understand this and are willing to answer those questions, are willing to teach you, and are willing to go that route. So I know we could, we're scratching the surface with this. We keep going for another 8 hours with this stuff. There is so much that's in it, but hopefully you guys out there are starting to get, at least the beginnings of what is possible by learning about this and doing, going out there and figuring out this information and seeing what else is available. And that's hopefully what we're trying to bring to you guys. So definitely one of the things we recommend, Brandon and Nate have a course on this. They got their website. Yep. These guys are there to answer questions and help you guys through this stuff. So guys, where's the best place if somebody is looking to, get started in this, learn more about this, or just have questions about it? What's the best thing for them to do?
So the gateway to our educational process, as you mentioned, is our course, really more of a coaching program than anything else. And so you can go to ulcmoney.com, ULC short for Unlimited Life Concepts. So ulcmoney.com. And we're going to do something special for the listeners. We're going to offer 50% off with the code THEKPELITE.
Perfect.
THEKPELITE.
Perfect, guys. So that's awesome, guys. So 50% off. If you guys go to the website, we're going to have the links in the show notes. We'll put the link down there with the promo. So THEKPELITE. And I got to tell you, the way that I connected, it's funny that we're sitting here in person now, here at the forum here in Chandler. But I originally connected with you guys on Twitter. And if you guys are on social media looking, these guys put out some awesome content. So what's the, can you guys throw out the Twitter and the Instagram handles as well?
So our new Instagram account is ulcmoney is our handle there. And then my personal, personal / branded Twitter account where Pete and I connected is Chronicles Nate. And that's Chronicles Nate. And you can find me on Twitter, and there's a story behind that for another day. But that's the best place to connect with us.
That's awesome, guys. So yeah, we'll have that in the show notes as well, guys. And we appreciate you guys both being here today. Definitely something unique, I think, for a lot of the listeners out there. And guys, all I can tell you is if this is something where you're in that real estate investing world, or even if you're not there yet, this is just sounding like something you want to check out. Check out Unlimited Life Concepts. Check out the course, guys. You won't regret it. There's, definitely a ton of information in there.
And like always, guys, if you have any questions, please reach out. If it's questions for these guys, questions for us, please reach out. questions@kpeliteaz.com and continue to support our podcast, our YouTube channel, and our Instagram @thekpelite. And we will continue to bring great content to you guys and have guests like this that can continue to feed your mentality of the business and everything that we're doing. So we'll see you guys next time.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.